Blog Talk Radio.
Yo, what's good?
Not your average playoff talk. We're going to talk a lot of playoffs today. It's about to be playoff time. NFL Super Card Weekend, Wild Card Weekend got going on today. So we're going to talk about all the games from the week. No coaching vacancies, no GM vacancies, no who's going to be here, who's going to be there. We're talking about who's still playing, baby. It's January football, and here we go. NFL playoffs. We got all these teams left, everything going the way it's supposed to for a lot of these teams, and some other teams getting some great breaks as it pertains to the way they were able to get through into the playoffs. So we're going to get it started today. We're going to talk about all these games. First up is going to be that Cincinnati-Vegas game, and we're obviously going to talk about the night game. I believe that's the Bills and the Patriots. So we're going to get into all these games today. We're going to get into let's see here. Yep, Bills, Patriots tonight at 6:15, 2:30 here my time, Las Vegas, Cincinnati. So let's get up into it. But first and foremost, like always, you know what we got to do. You already know. Here it is.
What about tomorrow? Time for us to start winning is now. 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 Now.
Hey, they don't like us. We don't like them. Nothing wrong with that, right? Right.
At the end of the day, it's the same three things you've had to do in 35 that you got to do now in 2018.
I do not see no holes on this squad.
You got to run the ball.
Barkley off the left side. Here he goes. Look at the speed. Oh, my goodness. Breaks the tackle. Going to take it to the house. 92 yards. Toying with the defender. Saquon Barkley.
You got to stop the run.
Tyreek Hill lines up in the backfield.
The ball pops free, and it's recovered by Harrison. A snack for Damon Harrison early.
And you got to pressure the passer.
Wentz hangs in, holds it down. Down he goes. And an early sack by Olivier Vernon.
Two kinds of players in this league, folks. There are guys that play professional football, and there are professional football players. And the professional football players are the guys we want. I don't want guys that want to win. I want guys that hate to lose.
Odell Beckham Jr. down the sideline for the touchdown.
Giants fans, you are now listening to the hottest show on the planet, The Shakedown. Here to give you everything you need to know on your New York football Giants are Black Friday.
Welcome to the New York football Giants, Saquon Barkley, a.k.a. the Golden Child.
Ease of choking, we're choking.
Do you know who Alec Ogletree is? Like, I'm asking you for real.
Really?
That is me. But do you know who he is?
J-Rock.
You saying we going 16-0, huh?
16-0, bro. How dare you say anything worse? How dare you?
Out your mind.
You know we just drafted the Messiah.
Holy and the one and only Shakes Montana.
Now, if that man was a prospect like a Peyton Manning or a Joe Montana, like I've been saying the whole fucking time, you don't pass up on this talent. You don't do it.
Now here is your host, Shakes Montana.
Yo, what's good with it? How y'all doing today? It's super wild card weekend. We got two games today. The first one will be starting here in about 42 minutes. It's going to be the Las Vegas Raiders against the Cincinnati Bengals, and we're about to see some fun, y'all. Two teams that I think it's 19 years for Las Vegas, 30-some years for Cincinnati since their last playoff victories. One of them's going to break a streak today. One of them's going to get that coveted playoff victory moving on to the divisional round. It's going to be fun to watch. I think that game, to me, of all weekend, outside of Sunday 2:30, outside of Sunday 4:30 game, it's Cincinnati Bengals and the Las Vegas Raiders. This game's going to be fun to watch. There's so much to talk about as it pertains to the game itself, X's and O's. You got Jamar Chase against a secondary that isn't that great. You also have a front four in the Las Vegas Raiders, Crosby and them boys looking right after it. And of course, as much as I like to say that I was wrong about Cincinnati not drafting the offensive line. I was wrong about them should have drafting an offensive line to win. They have proven me wrong. However, it is playoff season, and let's see if this offensive line can come to the occasion yet again. Block for the man Joe Burrow, block for the man Joe Mixon, and then let's see if T. Higgins and Jamar Chase can't go off. Let's not forget the main takeaway from this game. The Las Vegas Raiders shouldn't even be here. They have a interim special teams head coach and Rich Bisaccia. How's your family? How you doing? They've got, you know, off the field issues, internet, email issues with head coaches and things of that nature. This is a whirlwind of a season for the Las Vegas Raiders, who went from, I think at one point, two or three games under 500 to two or three games over 500 to now what they're sitting, three games over 500, 10-7. Getting ready to take on the Cincinnati Bengals on the road. This is a cross country, so to speak, game for the Las Vegas Raiders as it pertains to the travel and where they got to go from there. But look, man, this is a team with Derek Carr, with Josh Jacobs. They've been able to run the football, and Derek Carr's been able to throw the football very, very well over the last few games. It's just going to be. It's just going to be one of those, man. This could be one, but I don't anticipate it being an ass whooping, so to speak. I think they got the spread here at 6 points for the Bengals. I think that's a perfect good spread. I think it's somewhere in the vicinity of 5 to 8 points for this game. I know that seems like a lot, but a touchdown game for these two teams, I think that's perfect. I think Cincinnati may come off late, maybe with a 1 or 2 point lead there late, get a field goal, possibly get a touchdown to secure the victory. I'm going Cincinnati here. As much as Las Vegas has overcome the adversity from, what was it, Halloween, from the Ruggs incident to the Mayock incident, or not Mayock, but the Gruden-Mayock incident, the second, offender in the secondary, having his issues with drinking and driving, and then, of course, his team going through some lulls, losing to some not very good teams, and then picking it back up. They had some things go their way. Of course, the greatest thing or the best thing or the one thing that stands out the most is the Jacksonville Jaguars beating the Colts. That was able to swing the door open for a few teams, and it did, and it swung the door open for Las Vegas, and they were sitting there pretty at the last game of the year, where it's either, look, we either get this game, tie it up, go to playoffs, or we get this game, kick a field goal, maybe even start a touchdown, win it, and go to the playoffs. So as much as this season, I think, is a win for them in the Las Vegas Raiders, I think it's a loss for them in the divisional round coming up here at 2:30 p.m. There's just too much. Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, T. Higgins, Joe Mixon. That defense has actually come to step up. Hendrickson, I think he's top five in the league in sacks over there. Hendrickson, I can't remember the Cincinnati Bengals offseason pickup. As it pertains to the way that they get things done. Let's see here. Injury report. Let's see here. It doesn't look like there's very many big names. Patrick O for the Vegas Raiders. I think he's also leading the league in sacks as well, top five or six as well for him. And he's going to be out today too. So look, this is a defense in Las Vegas that's going to be out some key pieces, where this to me looks like a defense and an offense in Cincinnati raring to grow. 31 degrees in Cincinnati, perfect January weather, clear skies. I don't think there's going to be lots of crazy wind, but it is, outside. So it is going to be the way it goes. This isn't a game that I think I need to spend too much time on as it pertains to the way that this is going to look out. Because look, man, I'm picking the Cincinnati Bengals. I'm taking them to their first playoff game in 31 years. They got a squad over there. I said it again. I've said it before, and I will say it again. I was completely wrong. Ja'Marr Chase, absolutely the right pick at number four in the 2021 draft for the Cincinnati Bengals. And the numbers don't lie. The winning has come from that. And then, of course, he happens to open up. I think this is one of the few instances in the NFL where we see a wide receiver and a quarterback open up the run game. And this is where you look at the Bengals and you say, look, man, they're able to move the football at a consistent rate, passing it, opens it up, schemes it up, and then they're able to run the football with Joe Mixon. And it's not as if Joe Mixon isn't out there doing his things. He's got a 1,000-yard season for him. It's just going to be a fun game to sit back and watch and to let's see here and to take off take out what you can from this game. I mean, look, two AFC teams that haven't had, you know, playoff success in 2 decades, 3 decades. Like, this is going to be Cincinnati and them boys are going to be doing their thing. It's going to be the game of all games. And I don't say the game of all games. I just think as much as it goes to these players and putting everything out there and the organizations, the franchises. Now, this isn't, you know, a bunch of guys getting together to, you know, one last run on a great team. These are two teams, young, hungry, trying to move forward. One in Las Vegas trying to see if they should keep Derek Carr for the long haul. And a playoff victory or two might get Derek Carr really paid. So, and you look to the other side of the ball, the youth that is in the Cincinnati Bengals, the amount of say swagger or calmness or confidence or whatever you want to say about those Bengals is evident. It's there and it's good to go. So I'm very, very interested. Again, I'm picking Cincinnati, but there's nothing that this isn't going to shock me if Vegas wins. This isn't a lock to me. I just think Cincinnati with Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins, that offense, as much as Vegas has on their front four, front six and seven, it's just not going to be enough. I believe Cincinnati pulls away for a victory. I will take Cincinnati and the points as we move forward. So the next game on the slate, hold on 1 second here. Let's see here. We are going to work to the next game, and that's going to be, we all know the game. I'm just trying to take my time. Righty. Going through some things here. Going to be a quick little session. I'm just going to run through these games, run through the, let's see here, just pick over here, da-da-da-da-da. Let's see here. Here we go, my people. The game everyone wants to talk about today is going to be the New England Patriots taking on the Buffalo Bills. We're just going to end this right here. New England. New England. New England. New England. New England. Oh, my God. It's going to be so much fun to watch. Buffalo Bills smashing tables, hosting a playoff game, winning the AFC East just to have Bill Belichick walk to their home, Swagger City, and sorry about that. Yeah. They're going to walk in, fence and hand style, walk out, head held high, and beat the Buffalo Bills. This isn't a, I think the Patriots are going to cover situation. This isn't, I think the Patriots are going to keep this game close. Bill Belichick is the greatest head coach we've ever seen this side of Vince Lombardi, and he might be even better than him. He will know what to do. This is the rubber match, and I fully expect Bill Belichick to be prepared, be ready, Mac Jones, do his thing. This is the second coming. The next 20 years will be the New England Patriots torturing a very good Buffalo Bills team. And that's what's going to be awesome about the AFC East. Patriots are going to have some competition. I still take the Patriots this year, even though they're younger, they're youthful, they've got less experience all around. Give me New England. Give me New England. I'm taking New England, and I'm going to take them with all of my heart and passion, because some men just want to watch the world burn. And I'm one of them. Because this is going to be fun. Like, look, we put this, a 7-win Patriots team last year was dead in the water. They weren't supposed to make the playoffs. They weren't supposed to be good ever again. Their dynasty was dead. The Patriots were dead. Brady and Gronk down in Tampa Bay winning a Super Bowl, going back to the playoffs again, looked like they were running away with the NFC at the beginning of the year. Not so fast. Bill Belichick's got some for y'all. It's called the game plan. It's called doing your job. It's called I know how to win and I don't know how to do nothing else. So as we proceed to give you what you need, the better team is Buffalo. The better quarterback is Buffalo. The better defense. You could give the edge to Buffalo, although I think New England has a very, very underrated defense, and the numbers are the numbers, and we're not going to sit here and say numbers lie or numbers don't lie, but they might fib a little. So, look, check this out. I'm taking New England. They got a 5-point deficit. It's going to be a fun watch. I just don't see it's not that I don't see Buffalo Bill winning. I will be ecstatic and happy if I'm wrong, because the evil genius that is Bill Belichick losing, there's nothing greater. But look, man, he's going to do it. He's going to do it again, and he's going to win yet another AFC wild card weekend game where he is undefeated. Caveat, on the road. He's going to have he's going to have a sound game plan, and I can't sit here and say that I'm going to just write off New England. New England is not going to be a team that I will sit here and say that Buffalo is going to outclass them and mollywop them and, you know, run them out the building, which is possible for any game in any stadium. Just not for Bill Belichick. Just not for Bill Belichick. It just doesn't work that way. This is the I don't know what to say it. I don't know how to say it. I don't know what to say exactly. All I know is there's two men in this day and age in football, when they're going up for a national title or they're going up for a Super Bowl or they're going up for a playoff, that's Nick Saban and that's Bill Belichick, and I don't think I could ever bet against them ever. So I'm going to stick with Bill. I'm going to stick with the Patriots, even though I was wrong with Nick Saban and them boys back in the national championship game. I'm going to stick with it. You go with what you know. You know what I mean? And if I'm going to lose by riding with Bill Belichick and that team and Mac Jones, those guys, they know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. I can't hate them. I can't get mad at them. Sorry, LRP, go ahead. Say it again.
I was giggling at you saying Tom Jones. And then I said, it's not unusual. And I was going to finish the bar, you know what I mean?
It is not unusual to be loved by anyone, but it is unusual to watch the Buffalo Bills in the playoffs beat the New England Patriots. So I get it. I'm going to be an outlier on this pick. Maybe not an outlier, because I do believe there's a lot of people that just believe in Belichick. But let's not forget and toss this Bills team to the side. I'm not forgetting or, whatever the past term for remembering would be. This team is good. They have a really great defense. They've shut out, what, three teams this year, albeit not really great teams, two or three teams. You know, one other team was like maybe 3 points, putting up 40 and 50 at the same time. So this defense is definitely top-notch. The offense is top-notch. Josh Allen's in his own. Diggs, them boys, they know how to, you know, play football. I'm not sitting here saying the Buffalo Bills are not good, they're bad, or da-da-da-da. I think that's the misconception that when somebody picks against someone, especially in these type of things, we're saying that the other team is not good enough. I believe the Buffalo Bills are extremely good enough. Bill Belichick is just better. And we are going to see that today. Hopefully I'm not wrong. But look, if I'm wrong, I'll eat it. Like the crow I ate from Jamar Chase. Like the crow I ate from oh, no, I got that one right. But there's plenty of crow to go around at all times. The grill's fired up and ready every day. So, you know, it's good to go on that. LRP, sir, I did run through the Vegas game. It's about to get kicked off here in, I think, about 20 minutes or so. Did you have any thoughts on the Vegas-Cincinnati game? And did you want to make a pick?
Yeah, man, I picked Cincinnati, and I can't wait to watch this game. a lot of names to look out for. Skillful ball play, you know what I'm saying, Paul? I can't wait. But Joe Burrow, Carr, this coach that the Raiders have, you know what I'm saying? And yeah, I'm excited, man. Playoffs is here, wild card weekend, the first one.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be a good game. I hope that, you know, the talk and, you know, all the analysis, and now that we're about to actually see it, I hope it plays out the way they've talked it up for it to play out. So I'm excited.
Yeah, that's the game, man. That's the game right here. Look, there's a game tomorrow that has 90s playoffs written all over it. I know we know the game I'm talking about. But to me, for all football purposes, this is the game of the weekend. Rams-Cardinals could be cool Monday night. The game I was just talking about, Cowboys-Niners could be a good game. Tonight's game, Buffalo-New England, could be a great game. I have no idea what Pittsburgh, Kansas City is going to be. Probably far from a good game, but we'll see. But look, man, this Cincinnati, this Las Vegas team, two teams that one of them is going to break a 20. I mean, they're on 20 years, I think, both. One is, 1920. The other one's like 30, 31 years since their last playoff victory. One franchise is going to celebrate like there's no tomorrow. Me and you both believe it's Cincinnati. I like Joe Burrow. I like Joe Mixon. I like Higgins. I like Jamar. But even more, I like that Cincinnati defense. And Vegas, for all it's been able to do, they do not have wide receivers. They still got Waller. They still got Jacobs. They don't have any wide receivers. As much as they've been playing their asses off over the last few weeks to get into the playoffs, this is just not a team I can see take the top off or even get some real reliable help from the wide receiver core. It's going to be a Darren Waller type day if you're playing FanDuel for fantasy sports for the weekend. Darren Waller tight end, I think that might be the go. The reason I say that is because I honestly think Kansas City has a really, 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 really good shot of sitting most of their players fourth quarter against the Steelers. And as much as I like Kittle, I just don't see them, you know, attacking them in that secondary as much. We'll get into that later. I think that's more of a run-heavy game, both sides of the football. But, look, man, Cincinnati and Vegas, they going to have some fun today. Like, I don't know how much Vegas-Cincinnati games you've watched this year. Vegas, I've watched very little, just a couple. I think maybe the one right after the Ruggs incident and the one right after the Gruden stuff. But Cincinnati, because of my overwhelming negativity over their draft stock, I had to play close attention to this team. And I think Shake said it earlier last week or the week before about how I'm really riding this Cincinnati team, pause. And I am. This is a team that, because, like I said, I went so negative in their draft, and I thought it would be a detriment to the team. They proved me wrong. And the connection that Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase have at a rookie level. And we could say Joe Burrow's in his second year, but playing football, again, now mentally he's definitely in his second year. But physically playing football, he's still a rookie. And for him to be able to have the same, that muscle memory, the way he knew where Ja'Marr was going to be, and that translated over to Higgins. Higgins having a 1,000-yard season as well, a good one as well, having two wide receivers do that. I think it sets the stage for them to break that 30-something year drought that they've had, and I'm all for it.
Yeah, that wide receiving core is ridiculous. And now Joe Mixon, I'm excited to see him. And I haven't watched many of Bengals. I mean, I've watched the highlights and, you know, whenever they were playing Houston, but it's been more Raiders in this area region.
Okay.
That I've seen play against Houston or Dallas. So.
Mm-hmm. And look, but this I is a team in Cincinnati that played the Packers early this year. It took the Packers an overtime late drive to win that game. That was the infamous, I think, 7 or 8 field goals missed by both teams. And I think 3 or 4 missed game-winning field goals by both teams. I think majority of them by the Packers, Creighton Mason Crosby. But outside of the kicking game, offensively, defensively, that Cincinnati team stayed par for par with the number one team in all the NFL. You know, we can hyperbole the Packers and how great they are because I'm a Packers fan. I can do that. But is a team that was like top 5 in offense, top 10 in defense throughout the entire year, and they are just good. And Cincinnati said, look, we don't care. We'll play you, and we're going to play you very well. And I believe this is the second OT game we've played Cincinnati, so maybe the football gods just like us playing in OT. But look, man, this is a team that I thoroughly enjoy watching. Defensively, they've been able to do their thing. The offseason pickup, was it Hendrickson or Kendrickson? He's leading all top 5 or 6 in the league in sacks. He's got pressures. That Cincinnati Bengals defense is lights out. Are they number one in the league? No. Do you statistically look at them and go, wow, they hop off the page? Probably not, but you could just watch them and realize that team is set to go. I think set to go on a run. Super Bowl, who knows? But I definitely think they have 1-2 victory, 1-2 victories in this playoffs under their belt if they choose to play that way. All right. Getting back into the second game that I was talking to you about when you got up in here and you get a little giggle about the Mac Jones or the Tom Jones and the Mac Brady comment there. But New England, Buffalo. Buffalo spending the last part of 2 decades looking up at Daddy Patriots. Now over the past 3 years in Buffalo, realizing, yo, look, this isn't the New England division anymore. This is New England and Buffalo's division. And we'll see what the Jets and Miami have anything to say if they do. But right now, this looks like it's going to be Mac Jones and Josh Allen for the next 10 to 15 years in this division battling it out. And I'm excited. And we get to see one of the first of probably many playoff games between these two. We will see them regular season, obviously, twice a year. But look, man, rubber matches in the playoffs between two divisional teams, I don't think there's anything better. Packers had it, you know, a few years ago. Ravens and Steelers have it like almost every time they're in the playoffs. There's just something to say about watching two division rivals who've already met once, who've split the series in the regular season and play very well. It's not definitely a mismatch. Man, I think the biggest question I have for you is Josh Allen ready to take over and become the AFC East, you know, right now? The Bills, can they take over being the AFC East juggernaut who just missed one season and now they're back in the playoffs?
I don't know if I'm ready to answer that, but I do get excited about what the years to come will be. I think the future is solidified. I would say that. And so I will say the same thing as far as New England. It's going to be a good game. I mean, I know the first one, the weather affected it, and I know it's going to be blistering tonight as well. However, I am of the opinion that Mac Jones has definitely went to the right place with, though the first time you may see something, it may look shaky, but the second time, you're going to see a better version of it. Just because of that toolist that they got in the building. And with Josh McDaniels not having any interest, or there's no interest for him, and none of these discussions about people moving on and coaching carousel that's currently going on, I think that plays a role into Mac Jones' development. And so I think both of their futures are solidified, but I'm not ready to say that this is Josh Allen's division now and the throne has been dethroned, if you will, rather. But I am excited to watch this game. Mac Jones, Josh Allen, Bills, Patriots, that defense of the Bills, Greg Rousseau, what's my man, safety, Micah Hyde, and them boys. They got good linemen, good linebackers. Patriots got good defense, good cornerbacks. So I think Buffalo wins this, but I don't think it's going to be a lopsided one. I think hopefully it's competitive. I'm betting that it's competitive, but another good game that I'm going to be watching. But being the dog, I don't really have a dog in the race. I'm just excited to see competitive football and back and forth chess moves now that the playoffs are here. People, you got to win in different ways. So that's another thing. I don't want to things different in the playoffs. So based off of a regular season analysis, and I know that may be sounding, I don't know if that sounds crazy or not, but do you give a different analysis in the playoffs than you do in the regular season? Of course you do. So until I see it, we'll see what it's going to be. But my pick is the Bills tonight. So I got Bengals, Bills for today.
Yes, sir. Marking it down. Bengals, Bills, not a bad pick. Again, we are on opposite sides of this one. I'm picking Bill Belichick. I can't go against it. He's got two full games, and he's got a quarterback that knows what he's doing. So, again, I said it earlier. If you want to hear my winded talk about it, you can listen to that. I picked New England and Mr. LRP picking Buffalo. We do have our main man, our friend, Ida Chosman, on the line with us today. We did go over Cincinnati and Las Vegas, and we just went over Buffalo and New England. I think what we will do here is go over these two and the first game for tomorrow, have a little bit more talk, and then let everyone get into these playoff games. And then,
Real quick.
I believe we will have a show tomorrow to talk about everything else. Sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I just want to say before E goes, and I just wanted to also add on to Zach Wilson and the Jets as far as the future. So that may be where my allegiance lies as far as Josh Allen and Mac Jones, which I know either Tosborn may have something to say about that because his son is playing this evening. And my son ain't there yet, but this next season, watch out for the Jets and Zach Wilson. That boy ain't going nowhere, but that's all I got.
Now, that'll be an interesting conversation we have for the offseason. Can they make the right decisions, OC, and get him going in the right direction? Salah not going anywhere, and that man all year, one of the worst teams offensively and worst teams just out there as it pertains to product on the field. No one questioned Robert Salah all year. There was not even a hot seat conversation. That man is the head coach. He's going to move forward. He's going to turn things around there. I think I like the direction they're going. He's the chosen one, sir. Go ahead and get us that Vegas-Cincinnati analysis real quick if you'd like, and then a pick. And then go ahead and move on to the greatest coach of all time, Bill Belichick, and that game against the Bildos in Buffalo.
Peace, peace, Kings. What's going on, man? Good to see y'all. Good to hear y'all. Good to know everybody's okay. I'm feeling wonderful today, man. Just it's a blessed day. Football is amongst us, regardless to us being in the hunt or not. We love the game. We enjoy the game, and we are aficionados of the game. So today will be a lot of analysis, jealousy, and frustration, if we really want to take a look at it, because that's what's going to happen. We're going to watch our sons compete, but we're going to always continuously wish we're there. We'll get there, right, LRP? That's the key word floating today. But I'm going to give you my analysis for Cincinnati, Vegas.
No, we've made it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, we'll get there one day.
We'll get there one day. Guys like Nacho don't have to worry about that. His mind is just on winning it all because he's always there. But I'm going to change my pick. I was contemplating taking the Raiders for some reason because I just was a little confident in Derek Carr, which I still am. I think it's going to be a heck of a game. I think it's going to be an offensive shootout, if y'all really want to know. But I think for some reason, the Cincinnati Bengals defense is going to pick up a little bit more, and the offense is going to pull it through. So I'm looking at a close game with Cincinnati riding one of the hottest streaks right now going into the playoffs and a dialed-in quarterback. Now, the question is, Derek Carr is an experienced vet who's probably been here before, if I'm not mistaken. I don't know if he's been in the playoffs before. Nope, he's never been in the playoffs before, which is crazy. So this is his first playoff game riding high. Joe Burrow is an up-and-coming, my son, quarterback who's riding a wave right now of one of the best streaks of a quarterback that we've seen in a regular season in his second year. So he has the connectivity. He has the offensive firepower. These guys are flying high and firing on all cylinders. They are well coached, and they are well organized on offense. He hardly makes many mistakes, and he's shown that he's not a turnover machine when it counts the most. So that plays well. They have a running game, which we all know in the playoffs how that gets you going. They have offensive pass catches in the skill position that are top 15, top to bottom, if you look at them, in the NFL. And again, that hot streak, we will not dismiss that. These boys are playing balanced football over there. So I'm going to change my pick to Cincinnati and ride with my sons in Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase and the boys and Joe Mixon. So I'm looking forward to that game. I'll give you a predictive score. I think the Bengals will pull it out 34-24 Bengals. Changing my pick. Now, talking about my son against the coached, well-oiled machine over there in the East. This game for Josh Allen will allow him, if he wins, to put his thumb on the pulse of allowing his franchise to take the next step. The Bills franchise can take the next step. Are they the organization that we go to and just say, yeah, they have usurped the New England Patriots? Not at all. Not at all. While they were winning nothing, the Patriots were winning it all. Time and time and time again. 3 decades worth of just straight winning. But this game, the Bills, if they win it, they can put their thumb on the pulse of the AFC East and let them know they will be a team to be reckoned with moving forward as long as they keep up the status. Now, organization-wise, I would never compare the Bills to the Patriots, not at all. Team and the players, that's the only place I can go right now with them. Right now, the Bills have a stronger defensive roster and a better quarterback at this stage in his career. Mac Jones is still a rookie, and it's just amazing what Bill Belichick can do with play and plug, free agency, and keeping this organization where it is. So hopefully he can pull it out. I'm going for them. I think the Bills will win this game 27-17. And he will play one of his best games to show that he's arrived. But it will be a nail biter in certain situations. So that's where I'm going with that. As far as your son, Zach Wilson, I am a Robert Saleh fan. Everybody knows that. I've preached it, speeched it, and screeched it throughout the world. Soon as they got this guy, I said, he's the guy. And he's shown it. The Jets have a future in this division. Zach Wilson has a future in this league. And all they are what I'm hoping we can get to, which is when you look around a Jets roster, barring injuries, they have the pieces to put it together, and they just need to add to those pieces, and they will be a formidable opponent in making some noise in that East.
Sorry, gentlemen, my headset kind of went out there. I don't know if you guys can you guys hear me now. I had to get on the
phone. Yes, we can, my brother. We got you loud and clear.
I missed the last part of your analysis there, but I kind of think I got most of it. Give me 1 second here. Again, I missed a good portion of that.
I was picking Robert Saleh. Yeah, I picked Cincinnati, and I picked the Bills, and I let it be known about the Bills. But I said why and how Josh Allen can put his, you know, he can put the Bills' thumb on New England's pulse, meaning that he get a chance to touch the neck and check their heart rate. Mm-hmm. Like, yo, I'm in the building. Mm-hmm. You understand? But organization-wise, we'll never do those comparatives, not at all. And then I moved on to, of course, I just didn't want to say my brother's son. I was being facetious. But talking about the Jets, you know, and Robert Saleh and how much of a fan of that guy that I am, which is well known and documented here on the show. Mm-hmm. So they have a future with that organization.
Yeah, that's a guy that I know very well from playoffs against the Packers when he was with the Niners and Robert Saleh. I'm not a big one way or the other with him. I think it's a wait and see. The fact that this year was not a great year for New York, again, another bad year. The quarterback questions, of course, there was injuries, but the quarterback questions, Saleh was never in any discussion. He was never on first take discussions about losing his job. He never had a hot seat topic. Nobody really, really gave him a bat of an eye. Like, we know what you're dealing with over there with Woody Johnson. We know what you got going on. We'll just give you some chance. And I think that's the biggest sign I could get from New York media and just anything having to do in New York. If you're a head coach and you have that season and you're not even talked about in the light of maybe even just losing your job, everyone's just confident you're going to be good. That's the kind of
right.
faith I have. And Robert Saleh,
right.
or Saleh, however you want to
say it. And Nacho, I want to add to that. I apologize. I sincerely and humbly apologize, bro, but you brought me in. You see, I was trying to be out, and you brought me in. Here you go doing that. Listen, that's what I was talking about, Nacho, and I just want to go back till I think to about Wednesday, if you can recall. I know you have a great recollective memory. I was talking about the little things that you see when you watch a team that gives you hope. Even with the abysmal record that the Jets had, you saw them have moments of like, oh, okay, and it just wasn't one, brother. It wasn't one on offense. It wasn't one on defense. It was as a collective. And then you saw the coaching, because you know they pan over to that whenever a series is over, good or bad, happy or sad, right? And you saw them still be a team. And what you just said was he wasn't on a hot seat, regardless of the record. And when you look over there, you see that there's an organization which, no matter what, still wasn't talked about in a damaging way, regardless to record. And that's what I mean, because they know they're on the uprise. They're on the build-up. And that's the feeling that I want to get with our New York football Giants. So you don't have to worry about that, because you're only worried about a decline, because you've been on the up and up for damn near over a decade. hopefully you'll understand that feeling one day. Yes, that was a shot to my brother.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and look, it's quite interesting because you say that, and it's really just like a drop off from the wins that your quarterback gets you in my situation. The team's going to still be an 8-9 win team without Aaron Rodgers, which probably not going to be 13 or 14 wins, which still gets you in the playoffs and still gives you a chance. So I hope we can, find a quarterback that can just get us one or two more wins, and then that's the thought process there. So, what was I going to go with this next one?
Winning gives you a mental conniption.
It does. And I think you throw in a couple years of losing and missing the playoffs, and you pick right back up in 13 straight wins, it does kind of give you that. Anything could happen.
Right. Right. And I'm trying to we trying to get there as a whole entire world. I got you.
Yeah, and look, and that's not a knock on just the Giants. I mean, there is a plethora of teams out there that are looking to get better, but we are not talking about that. This is super wild card weekend. The teams that they're still playing in January, we're going to get into it. We're going to talk about tomorrow's first game in the morning. Let me get back to this, website here that we all know and love. But it's going to be the morning game will be – oh. Y'all are going to love to talk about this one. Morning game. The NFC South hosting the NFC East. Tampa Bay Buccaneers 12-13-4. Taking on the Philadelphia Eagles 9-8. Squeaking in. I think they're the 7th seed, if I'm not mistaken. Yes, because Tampa's the 2 seed. Here we go. The main portion. The other matchup predictors were kind of even, somewhere between 60 and 40. This one, not so much. That's why I'm going to read it for you. Tampa Bay's got a 77.5% chance of winning this game. They're also 8.5 favorites. Let's not forget and talk about this. 68 degrees. Sounds beautiful, right? 75% chance of rain. Think about 1 to 2 inches of rain, and I think the gust of about 30 to 40 miles an hour is what it stands right now. Obviously, weather changes. It could be a beautiful, bright, sunny morning tomorrow in Tampa. But as it sits right now, it's not looking so great. So we'll see if that run game had anything to do with it. I'll just take this one real quick. Actually, you know what? I went first the last couple of times. Let's go ahead. Let's get LRP up in here. LRP, Sir Philadelphia, traveling to Tampa Bay for Sunday morning. Getting up and doing our Sunday morning.
Come back to me, bro. Come back.
Oh, okay. No worries. No worries. E the chosen one, my friend.
What's up, baby?
Sir.
You know, y'all know I got the shovel. Let's get it done.
The shovel is that for the Eagles 6 feet?
Oh, you know. First of all, when you bury an eagle, brother, you got to bury them 12 feet because you don't want other scavengers. You don't want other scavengers being able to find the remains of a dead-ass bird like that. And they stink, bro. A dead bird you can smell for miles on end, especially, and I'm going to use a little, analogy for those of us that's been on the East Coast for quite some time. You can smell a dead bird from 95 to 84, meaning there's all the way up north and all the way across west. So you got to bury that 12 feet. I'm going to give the shovel to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and I think that's what we're going to just picture was on the side of their helmets, like just shovels instead of pirates, because that's what's going to happen tomorrow. I don't care about the weather. I don't care about the temperature. I don't care about the wind factor. I don't care about it, none of it. This game is not going to be competitive at all to me in my mind, except for maybe Tom Brady making it that way because he's going to be stepping into the postseason without some of the weapons that he had during the regular season and that also helped him win last season's Super Bowl, meaning that there will be no Antonio Brown. There will be no Leonard Fournette. I think two of the cornerbacks are still hurt. I don't know if Pierre Paul is playing tomorrow, but we can get through that, of course, Nacho, while I'm doing my analysis of this game, if you can pull up the injury report, because that's kind of important. But that's the only thing that will keep the Eagles even relevant. But by the third quarter, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will be throwing the dirt starting from 3 feet deep. They're dead. D-E-D.
So you got three questionables, Sean Murphy Bunting, Carlton Davis,
okay.
Both defensive backs are
right.
Questionable.
Right, cornerbacks.
Leonard Fournette still on the injured reserve.
Mm-hmm.
Tyrell Grayson, wide receiver, is out. Justin Watson, wide receiver, is questionable. Look, man, we talking about a team that's full of injury. Like, I know.
But we also
talking
about replacements that are killer. Breland as a wide Perriman.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are great replacements for these guys.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Jones.
And if you're talking about a one game off against the Philadelphia Eagles in the wild card round, I am 100%
mm-hmm.
with you. This is not
right.
a team to me that looks like they can make a deep run or even compete against the upper level defenses that will be in maybe the Los Angeles Rams or the Arizona Cardinals or maybe even in the Green Bay Packers. Those wide receivers do not strike fear into any of those defenses, even if Tom Brady's still in the football. So I think
absolutely.
This is going to help out this game. Those are the names and those are reasons. And the reasons we bring up those is because those are definite one gamers. You know, you want guys that will be able to come in and for one game, put up some stats, do what you need to do and get you a victory. And I think that's exactly what you're talking about. And I think that's exactly what those guys can do.
Exactly. And it's going to happen that way. And I'm going to be smiling at this time tomorrow when we talk about it.
Mm-hmm. So we're looking at Godwin's still on the injured reserve. They put Sherman on the injured reserve on the 11th. And then they've got a few other guys that have been on injured reserve since the beginning of the year, middle through the year. And then Ronald Jones is out and Leonard Fournette is out. They have no run game. It's going to be a tall task. I'm not saying this is going to be super easy. This has legacy building Brady all over it because if his defense goes out, does what it needs to do, and shuts down the Eagles' run game, and he walks away with this victory. We're going to see a legacy-building talk from him about him. So to me, this is how much do the Tampa Bay Buccaneers love Tom Brady? Because they got to win it for him. There's nothing in my mind that says Tom Brady's going to go out there with this offense and those offensive weapons and go put up 30, 40 points and just whoop the shit out of the Eagles. I mean, can it happen?
No.
It's football.
No,
it's football.
I just think they'll pull away third quarter. I think it'll be, a little stenchy, as I like to call it. You know, they have a little smell to it by the end of the second quarter.
Yeah.
But third quarter, I think late in the third quarter, about 4.5, 5 to go, that's when they put themselves up by 2 touchdowns probably, and the Eagles probably won't be able to come back from that.
That's what I'm saying. Look, there's a difference between a team putting up 30-28 in the first half and then sitting on their laurels for the second half and then beating you and putting up 35-40 for a team that has, 14 going into the fourth quarter and you get a bad turnover and now it's 21, you get another bad turnover and now it's 28 and you get a late position, you get 31 points, 17 in the fourth quarter is a lot different to me than a team that started hot, got up big and just rolled it out. And situations are situational. As my friend Pat McAfee, I don't say my friend, but the guy I listen to, Pat McAfee, says every day. And that means, I contextually see them keeping it close and them being the Eagles. And then, like you said, third, fourth quarter, the wear and tear, the inexperience, Tom Brady knowing when to go, where to go, how to go, because he's got a first half of this team in his brain already and helping out. Leftwich helping him out offensively, and then of course Todd Bowles out there. That team, regardless of what they did last year, they have a good coaching staff. Those guys ain't hurt. Those guys ain't gone. They're still there. So I believe in that coaching staff and that team is good. We're not going to sit here and denigrate the team because of a few injuries, but it's not as if these few injuries are nobody. Leonard Fournette, Chris Godwin, Ronald Jones. How healthy is Mike Evans going to be? You know, like, those things are real questions. You know, a bad hit in the first quarter for Mike Evans and he's out the rest of the game, and you got to rely on breathing. You got to rely on those guys for the entirety of the game to win one-on-one matchups. That's when it's going to get tough. You know, Gronk not being able to defeat double, triple teams because there's nobody else to fuck with on the outside. Godwin's gone and the boys are gone. It's going to be hard. It's going to be a difficult task. But like I said, and like you guys preach most of the year about your team, the good coaching can overcome some of those things. And I think that's what Arians and Boyles and Leftwich and those, you know, assistants, this is what they dream of. You know, quarterbacks dream of 1-2-minute drill, no timeout, you're down six. You know, safeties dream of that on the other side. I mean, like, coaches dream of losing star players in key situations so they can prove to the world that they are great coaches. Like, you don't think Bill Belichick is sitting at home smiling while he's in the playoffs again within a year? Like, it feels good to him that he was able to go do that. So, look, I'm all for this team in Tampa Bay getting that late victory. Sorry, LRP.
No, I was just letting you know I was back.
The floor is yours. We were kind of rambling on right there.
Okay. I was just going to say, I mean, if we done with all the analysis part, or are we just talking, or is it still show format? That's important.
Well, look, we could just. I was just going to have you get this last show format question about the Bucks and the Eagles. After that, we can decide. You want to sit and chat? I think we should save the Cowboys and Niners and the Chiefs and the Steelers for tomorrow morning's show. Give us a little something to talk about. Give us something to pick up. You know, before them Eagles and Bucks get underway. But look, man, it's up to you. If you just want to shoot the shit and talk about this Tampa Bay Eagles game, I'm all for it.
Okay, no problem. I ain't got nothing to say about that funky ass game. Bucks win. You know, that's one.
You know,
I mean, I think that's the game of this weekend that I could just care less. I mean, I watch it because it's football and it's playoffs, but.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I you know, the Tampa Tom Brady is a lot cooler than New England Tom Brady if we were playing wrestling characters. I like this dude better than the corporate version, you know what I'm saying? You know, you got the wild dude, then you got the corporate when they back in the day when they had that corporate team.
Mm-hmm.
Motherfuckers was in suits, so they were supposed to be different, but he's still wild motherfucker underneath. So I do like him now, but I don't have shit. Bucks win. I got nothing. I am. No, that's not true, though. That's not true. Me even saying anything about the Eagles always wraps me into a loop with the Giants. So I've already said my piece about that. Bucks win. Next game.
All right. Well, let me just give an update real quick for the Cincinnati and Las Vegas game. Raiders are driving on their first and send you off the kickoff. Derek Carr is 5 of 6. He just completed incompletion because of a great pass breakup. Third down, they're attempting a 47-yard field goal. So let's see what goes on. The kick is good. Raiders on the board, 3-0 in the first quarter, 9:23 to go. And first drive ends with some points. They look comfortable. The Cincinnati Bengals were in a prevent defense, giving up everything underneath, which is a much, much, much
much ill-advised, stupidest thing that you could possibly do with those weapons on the outsides with Waller, Moreau, Renfrow, and Zay Jones playing at a high level. And then on top of that, you got Josh Jacobs coming out of the backfield who can is a dual threat back who can catch and run and delay handoffs. Like, I don't get that, but I guess this is a feel-out time for them to see what they're bringing or coming with it. We'll see what's going on Cincinnati's side of the ball when they get it off the kickoff.
And we discussed a little bit of Cincinnati earlier about, you know, I did give them more of a watch than usual most years, and then especially they played the Packers. But this is a team that rushes four and likes to drop back, and their front four has been able to get pressure throughout the year. So we'll see if they're able to make some adjustments, maybe bring some blitzes, and try it that way. But first drive, moving on down the field, you held them to three. And look, I'm always on the positive side when it pertains to defenses holding teams out of the end zone. Three points is obviously more than zero, but it's way less than seven. So you got Derek Carr out there slinging the football. You had a good pass breakup on third down that stopped him and made him kick a field goal. So you keep that up, and Burrow and Chase can get on point. I mean, you trade sevens for threes, I think they'll be happy with that. I believe we have Chase Montana. We did go over the two games today and the morning game for tomorrow. The floor is yours. You there, Shakes? I think that's you. I believe that's you. Put the hand up and everything. Get you in here when you get a chance. Just holler.
Yeah. Give me a second, bro. I'll be right here.
All right. There's your figure. Look, I think this game is one that we've all kind of been wanting to watch. But I don't know, man. I don't know. If we're going to sit here and go off that first drive, or LRP, either one, I don't know if you watched it or not. Obviously the defense, but were they just eating them up with the dink and dunks, or was it taking what the defense gave them, or were they actually running plays and getting yards that way? All right.
Who was that to?
That was to E. But if you're here, Shake, go ahead and give me your analysis for this first game that's already underway, and then we can talk about that Bills-Patriots game in the afternoon.
Well, I've been saying it all week. I think the Raiders are going to win this one. But shout-outs to the Bengals for a great season that they had, and, of course, it's not over yet, but, you know, they had a season that I feel – they overachieved in a lot of people's eyes. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that people thought Cincinnati was going to be bombs or anything like that. But did we really see playoffs? I know I didn't. So, you know, to me, they overachieved. And great season for them. Now, they beat these Raiders, which they should. I believe they favorite. But to me, I just think that the Raiders – I don't know. I have this feeling that Cincinnati is just going to choke this first game. But I haven't watched none of it yet, so I don't know how they're playing right now. But I just have this funny feeling that Cincinnati is going to choke this first game. But they did have a great season and overachieved in my eyes.
Montaigne, what's up, baby?
What's good, bro?
I changed my pick before the game because I did a little bit of thinking, and I can't just go against all three of my sons, all three of them. You understand? It's on the field today. All three of y'all. I'm talking
they
to all three of y'all.
They're not,
you know what I mean? So, right,
today, bro.
Right. Mm-hmm. And they too much of a well-oiled machine on offense. I'm sorry, LP. I get out your way, bro.
No, I'm just ad-libbing with you, bro. You go ahead. You got it.
No. I was just telling Shakes that I changed my pick because a lot of people don't realize Cincinnati's defense is a lot better than it is. It's not a household name yet because they just made a splash that Shakes loves. this season, you know, coming back from obviously being a good, you know, team. But already, just in case you need to know, my son has connected with my son four times already on this drive. And they already let in the cornerback, number 35 for the Raiders, feel it. It's nothing he can do. It's going to be a long game for him. So we'll see, Shakes. But I definitely changed my pick, my brother.
You changed it from Cincinnati to Oakland?
You, bro. I'm trying to
No. I changed it from Oakland. I was
time, bro.
It's Raiders.
LGBTQ time, bro.
I'm not going against
you.
I'm not doing it, bro. I'm not going to talk like that. I'm going to just keep Joe Mixon. My son don't look
right
like
now,
he ever
bro.
Punched nothing.
He winning
Jamar
right now,
Chase
bro.
Is being chased into the end zone, and Joe knows how to burrow the ball in between
what's
defenders
that?
And get people open. Highest completion percentage in the NFL this season at 70. That means a lot.
I missed something
yeah.
there. I heard a bunch of and had that as being a reason why the Raiders is going to win. What they got to do with this? I'm lost.
No. I understand a lot of what Chase is saying. I just I get it.
Well, let me.
So what are we would talk. No, this is. Well, all the way down into the red zone, first and goal from the 10 for Cincinnati. So it is looking like that. So tomorrow we will discuss the other two games. But, Jake, did you want to talk about that Buffalo-New England game, or do you just want to pick it and keep moving?
Man, if he only had dropped to us, man. Remember in my mock class, man, this dude dropped to us. He dropped. Man, if I would have got my wish. Oh, Chase is just unbelievable. But the, you know what? And this goes to the E, the chosen one from the Bronx. See, I have a different mantra, though, right? Because he says, right, like he didn't want the Trevor Lawrences of the world last year and all that because – you know, they was going to fuck him up. Which, you know, I got his point, but then at the same time, he went to Jacksonville. You know what I'm saying? I think the Giants would have been way more better than the fucking Jacksonville Jaguars. But, okay, fine. Anyway, right? My thing is this. I don't agree with that. I agree with that Chase would have, it definitely would have fucked up Chase because we didn't have a fucking quarterback. Now, quarterback, to me, you go on a team, and if you are a legit guy, a la Herbert, you know what I mean, it doesn't matter what's around you, you're still going to shine. But Daniel Jones is not that guy.
That's
so,
fair.
You know, if we would have Chase would have dropped to us and we would have took him, it would have been so unfortunate. Because he would have had kind of a year that Kadarius Toney kind of had. Not saying that the injuries and everything, right? Because that's a whole nother thing with the COVID and the injuries. That's a whole nother thing. But I'm saying as far as production-wise, we wouldn't have seen Chase do what he's doing now.
That was a fucking laser.
It was to see Uzomah for a touchdown. Cincinnati about to kick the extra point. Look, man, the Joe Burrow – Jamar Chase thing is something that I don't think can ever be replicated, duplicated, or whatever. You're never going to get a number one pick who played with a number one wide receiver for a whole year in college, set all these records with that one receiver, won a national championship, and then they just pick up the next year where they left off. Like that can't not be forgotten. People are like, oh, just get a quarterback and throw Jamar. Like, they have a rapport that quarterbacks and wide receivers who spend 4 years in the league have. And they have that because they spent an entire college season together, off-season, college season, off-season, college season, that college season, last one, boom. I'm going to go ahead and, you know, throw for 89,000 touchdowns, 8,500 yards, all of them go to Jamar Chase, and we're going to win a national championship. Then we're going to leave, and that team's going to win three games the next year we leave. Like, let's not forget that when we talk about Jamar Chase and Joe Burrow. Those guys have – they had all of that, and then they had an entire offseason, and now they're on the same team. It's like, look, we – I don't want to sit here and say, look, if he went to any other team, he would be bad or better. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying is the absoluteness that he was going to be good with Joe Burrow was always there. People like me had trepidation on their offensive line, and was he going to be able to actually throw him the football, which he was. I don't think any of us question that, and I think it's just he just – they just picked up where they left off. I think it was like 30 touchdowns in college their last year together. Joe Burrow gets hurt. He played two NFL games or three NFL games and the start of the fourth one and didn't see another NFL field till his buddy was back. Like, that's a lot. I love that. That's awesome. Like, you can't script it any better. And now they're, you know, marching down the field. And
when they took him, I think we was all goo-gaga for it, but you were sitting there like, well, what offensive line? And you said that about Arizona the previous year, I believe. Or was that – no, that was you. So, yeah, so – yeah, I mean, you said what about the line? And I thought about that, too, when you said it, because that line is what got Burrow hurt. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I don't think you were wrong, but – it's just that Burrow is just very talented. He is that quarterback that we all coveted. And to have a guy that you just mentioned, somebody that you had a rapport with that is a fucking superstar, a megastar, and to already have that connection with him, it was a match made in heaven. And it's just good for those kids, and I'm glad that it's showing success early. So, but yeah.
Exactly. And you know, I'm 100% behind you on that. Like, I'm never going to talk about the Cincinnati offensive line in a bad light until they prove that they are in a bad light. But like you said, I did call that Arizona thing, and I was right. They were unable to put together consistent plays on the field. You saw the flashes. It looked great. And they were not a playoff team and didn't do anything. They addressed the offensive line in the offseason in the draft, and they started off 9-1. And, you know, that opportunity to be number one in all the NFC and NFL, if not for a few injuries and a few bad bounces. So, like, this is a team in Arizona that I was right on. And then Cincinnati, I was wrong. And I was wrong because you had Joe Burrow and you had Jamar Chase, where the Cardinals, as much as they have those guys now, it took an offseason to go get a Hopkins. It took an offseason to go get an A.J. Green. It took an offseason to go get some guys to help you where they didn't need that offseason. Joe Burrow and Jamar Chase has had that from the get-go. So, it was good. And they did everything they could. They won the NFC, AFC North. And you know, we're talking about them. And I guess the good thing, I guess, for what would you say, for Baltimore and Cleveland fans, we're not talking about the quarterback and how they haven't won because they're not here. So Cincinnati's doing their thing. Like you said, were they supposed to be in the playoffs? Absolutely not. I had them, I think, 6-7 wins, 8 wins, which is a dramatic improvement from the previous year. They were
definitely
a top 4 pick the previous year.
Definitely.
So for me to sit there and sit,
exactly what I thought.
You take over.
No, you good. I'm sorry. I was just ad-libbing like LRP would say, but yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Exactly what I thought. You know what I mean? Like, maybe 6-7. I mean, at most 8. You know what I'm saying? At most 8 to show, like, okay, we taking a step forward going into next year. But to see this, to see what they have done all season long, to see how they finished the damn season, and that's one thing, right? That's one thing when you're a team like that, when it comes playoff time, when it comes crunch time, and you got to make a spot for yourself in the playoffs, that's when you show You know what I mean? The clutchness, the clutch gene is in you. Do you have it? Are you that quarterback? Can you win us the games that we need you to win? And he did that. Shout-outs to Joe Burrow.
Yeah, Joe Burrow did his thing. And look, he's, oh, geez. 3rd and 8 for Vegas. They've got a false start as well, so they are moving backwards. And then they got a little bit there, but they are 3rd and 8 at their own 40. Look, man, this is one of those things when you look at a landscape of a team, and we talk about the offensive line and things, and those guys aren't tremendous. They are still ranked, I think, 20-something in the league, you know, PFF, and then there's other grades out there that have them, you know, below middle of the pack. But Ja'Marr Chase, 1,000 yards. Higgins, 1,000 yards. Mixon, 1,000-yard rush. Joe, 4,000 yards passing. So those guys did everything and everything to help that offensive line overcome the deficiencies, and now they're here. And then this is what you're talking about. It's going to take – probably going to take a game-winning drive. And, yes, all on the quarterback. If those five guys aren't there, no matter how good your quarterback is, they're going to be whack. Oh, my Lord. Derek Carr sacked, so, Las Vegas 32, -8 fumbles. T. Hendrickson, the guy I was talking about, recovered the football first at the Las Vegas 15 for the Cincinnati Bengals after a Daniel Jones-like Derek Carr turnover. I'm sorry.
May I jump in? May I jump in right here? Because that's what I was This is what I was talking about when I gave my analysis. A bunch of underrated, no-name guys who's going to step up and make plays and take this game. There we go. There's the first one right there. That's what I'm talking about. They're not household names, but they are definitely solid. There it is.
And this is where it gets dangerous.
Situation.
It gets dangerous for Vegas right here, because if you go down 14-3, that takes almost – again, we're early in the first – well, not early. It's 3 minutes left in the first. We're early in the game. So running doesn't go out the window, but down 14-3, it's hard, especially when now these Bengals defense can pin their ears back and maybe throw some blitzes at you. This Bengals team may surprise some people.
You know
they
what?
They look like they're about to go up too.
Can I ask you a question, Nacho, really quick, a favor, actually, because I'm not in front of anything except children. Can you do me a favor? Can somebody off the top of the head tell me the last time the Cincinnati Bengals made the playoffs? Because it's a reason why I'm saying that. It's a reason
why
they
made the playoffs a lot.
Right.
It's not them making
the
playoffs.
No. What was the drought, though? What was the drought? Because they had a little small drought.
The drought is 31 years from winning one. They haven't won a playoff game in 31 years.
No, I'm talking about the
playoffs.
They've
been to the
playoffs. I'm saying, what year did they not make the playoffs, or how many consecutive years did they not make the playoffs?
I think it's only been a couple. Give me 1 second. Because remember,
okay,
they were going to the playoffs and
it hasn't
playoffs
been that much.
Winning.
I bet
and,
two or
and,
three.
And guess what? I want to talk about that, because that's the type of team that we want to not just model ourselves after, but be mentioned in that type of conversation with. You understand?
There we go.
See how they
I
missed the playoffs for a couple of years? But I'll listen to the analysis, the stats and facts, Nacho.
So
are you ready?
So from 2009 to 2015, they made the playoffs 7 out of 8 years. And then from 2016 to 2020, they missed the playoffs. 6 win, 7 win, 6 win, 2 win, 4 win. 2 win and 4 win got them Joe Burrow and Ja'Marr Chase. After that, 10-7 to make the playoffs. They missed the playoffs 5 years, 16-20.
Now,
Bill, go ahead.
Real quick, first off, I just want to say with that, this is why I was such a big Marvin Lewis fan. I was a big Marvin Lewis defender because I'm like, bro, all you can do and ask from a fucking coach is to get you to the goddamn playoffs, bro. You know what I'm saying? And he did that consistently, 7 out of 8 years, as you just said. Okay? So, I know people wanted to pile on once, you know, he was on his way out. But I was like, man, look, man, he got him to the motherfucking dance, man. And that's all you can
do. Can I tell you something that you said, Shakes? Because me and you had this talk longer than anybody, and I mean I'm respectfully saying that because we did. You want to know something that you said and I was talking about with you? We said we'll see exactly who they are without him being
there. Yep.
We talked about this. And we was like, we'll see if it was Marvin Lewis or if it was everybody else.
And to be honest, it has to be a little bit of both. I mean, the guy's 16 years, only made the playoffs 7, lost every single one. So then you could sit here and look at the longevity of it. And, again, this is a guy in all of his tenure had anywhere from a 2-win season. Nope, sorry. Had anywhere from a 4-win season on up to a 12-win season. Lewis was all over the board. He could get you an 8-8 season 1 year or 11-5. 4-11 to 10-6. 4-12 to 9-7. So, and this is you know, what do you got? Anderson, what is that? What's his name? Derek Anderson, right? That's your quarterback, followed by Carson Palmer. Then Hall, then Palmer. Palmer, then Fitzpatrick, Palmer some more, and then Dalton. So, I mean, we look at those guys. Do any of those quarterbacks jump off the page? And, you know, Cedric Benson there at quarterback. They had the law firm Green Ellis at running back. Hill, then followed up by 5 years of Nixon. It's been a steady dose of the same people. So, look, we can talk about the coaching or the players. This is a team that, for whatever it was, for the better part of, what I say, 9 years, they made the playoffs, first or second in their division that has the Ravens and the Steelers. So, look, people want to hate on Lewis or whatever. He did what he can. He spent the last 3 years, 6 wins, 7 wins, 6 wins, missing the playoffs. It's a new league. You had 16 seasons and you never won a playoff game. That's what they got on. I don't think anyone really ever got on Marvin Lewis as the coach that can't coach a team, that can't win a game. They got on Marvin Lewis because you get your team there, and regardless of who you got at quarterback, because you went through 4 quarterbacks if you count Fitzpatrick, and you made it with all of them, and you didn't win, or you didn't make it with Fitz, but you made it with all of them, and you lost with all of them. So it's like at a certain point, I mean, blame can be, you know, 50-50, 20-10% all the way around. But, man, like that Bengals team was just – it was good, too. It's not as if this was a team like that 12-4 Bengals team in 2015, that was a good Bengals team. That was a really good Bengals team. Had a good defense. They were out there. They were ranked second in points. Defensively, 7th in points offensively, top 5, like, you've got to win with that. Even if you're, you know, you want to degrade the coach, you've got to win. I mean, just not winning at all, I think, was the one in the playoffs. Because we all knew, for a large part, he was going to make it. And you have to look at the success of the other teams in that conference during that time period. There's 3 Super Bowls in his conference from the moment he takes over. And he didn't get in on any of that. 4 Super Bowl appearances. If you count the 3 by the Steelers, and I think they won the Ravens before that. So, you know, like, if you're like, I don't know, man. After the 2015 season, how Lewis still kept his job is beyond me. And we all made the jokes he had, the tapes on the owners and stuff. But I don't know, man. The Zach Taylor team.
I just don't understand what I want from a coach, man. Get him and just dance. He gets you there. That's it. But also, like, I want to make
you got
to
win, though. You got to win, Shakes. You can't just make it and not win.
I get it. But that's not even – I mean, I'm not going to say that's not on him. But, I mean, dude, if a Marvin could get you there 7 times, not once, not twice, not 3 times, but 7 fucking times, bro. It comes a point in time where you got to say, yo, this dude he's coaching them up to get them there. These players is just not fucking sitting there executing enough to fucking get them over the hump.
Can I ask
me,
you that, Shakes? Really
I want that motherfucking coach, bro. I want it.
All right, see, look. Let me make one more point real quick.
And
let
you
me,
can get
let
back
me get
to
right
that.
I got you. I'm going to just go right after Shakes because I'm going to ask you something, not you. Go ahead, Shakes.
This is my point, though, with the Burrow thing, right? You know, when we talk about the offensive line deficiencies and all that, it's still not all the way there. But you see the talent overcomes it. And that's all I was saying in the 3 years of Daniel Jones. Yes, I do get the point that he do need an offensive line. Eli needed the offensive line. But Eli was also still good enough to win you 6, 7, 8 games. This guy can't even win you 4, okay? So this is what I'm just trying to say. The offensive line, yes, it is a huge factor in going to what a quarterback development and progression is, but at the same time, that talent will overcome it. Herbert, Burrow, they will overcome that bullshit. Daniel Jones could not, and that's why I was so critical of Daniel Jones. That's why I said he wasn't the guy, because he did not, his talent did not overcome the bullshit that he had to overcome.
Mm-hmm. And I get that. Oh, sorry. You were next.
No. I'm not going against any of that. I mean, you had 3 years to show us. I don't have anything to say. We all knew what it was. I'm moving so forward because I'm dialed into these quarterbacks coming out. We can talk about that anytime you want, because I did my research on that for you, Montaigne, a long time ago. But I got definite now. Moving back to the Bengals and Marvin Lewis and making the playoffs. Who were the teams that they played in that stretch when they made the playoffs those years? If you mind, Nacho. You know what I mean? If you feel it's too much, I'll go to it. But I think it should be right there because you mentioned losses. So it might be the teams they played. I just want to hear the teams they played because that is important.
So it is third one, Indianapolis.
Shit. Mm-hmm. And either Peyton Manning and Ben Roethlisberger teams, right?
No, I'm starting with the 2015. So that would be Ben Roethlisberger, but 2015 Ben Roethlisberger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Andrew Luck.
By the way, that 2015 victory by the Steelers was the last time they won a playoff game. Cincinnati would be the Colts. That would be the 20. That's the Andrew Luck Colts, 2014.
Right. Okay.
Then 2013 was the Phillip Rivers Chargers.
Uh-huh.
2012 was the Texans. I don't think that's Deshaun either. I don't know if Deshaun's 2012. I think he's newer
than that. Was
that
Derek Carr?
Or David Carr.
David Carr. Was that David Carr?
Let me check.
Gary, who was that?
Yeah. I'm looking. Hold on 1 second. Yeah, come on, give me some players, man. Andy Dalton on the Bengals. Come on. T.J. Yates for the Texans.
Okay. A miracle happens once.
And then...
I remember that game.
Yeah, I do too.
Matt Schaub. It was two Texans back to back, T.J. Yates and then Matt Schaub. And I actually remember those games now that I'm talking about it.
Right. Okay.
Look, I think the reason, I think the reason why a lot of people gave Marvin Lewis blame and were on him so much is that because through the entire tenure, quarterback changed, wide receiver changed, and running back changed 3 full times. You had 3 brand new sets of star power on the offensive side of the football that you were unable to win one. I'm not talking about going on a terrific run and winning the playoffs and going to a Super Bowl and maybe you have a last second Tennessee Titans thing and you lose by a yard. They never won one. Just one.
Just and one. My thing is,
in 16 years.
I got you. And my thing is, I'm looking at them being an up-and-coming team who possibly, if they didn't run into the juggernauts of that time, right, it would have possibly been different. But those teams was juggernauts. They went on to win Super Bowls previously and during and were Super Bowl contenders. Because of being a low seed, they ran into the highest seed, if I'm not mistaken, and teams that
nope.
were better than them at them times.
They had those games I just mentioned, three of them were home games.
Mm-hmm.
They were the division winners. Look, man, I understand what you're trying to say. They lost to the Texans.
Yeah.
They didn't make it nowhere after they beat them. They lost to the Andrew Luck Colts. They lost the next week. Nobody they lost to went on and won a Super Bowl. Not even that Colts team. Not even that Steelers team in 2015. Again, that was the last one they had. This Bengals team, whether you want to talk about, you know, the players on the field, there was one constant for 16 years. That was the head coach.
I got
the players came in and out.
My thing is relevancy and being able to still stay relevant and still being able to maintain in a powerhouse AFC the way it was with the Tom Brady's, the Ben Roethlisberger's, the Phillip Rivers, and all of those guys,
mm-hmm.
and you still are able to be relevant. And that is something
mm-hmm.
that I think Shakes is referring to. You're still relevant in that mix. And that's what made him not such a bad coach, but actually
yeah.
a commendable one.
Again, it's not as if he could be a great coach and still not be worthy of having another year. Like, both those things can be true. For whatever reason, your great coaches can't win us one playoff game. You can get us there, and apparently when the playoffs start, you don't have to coach anymore. So you can get us there, but you can't win us one. Like, I understand as much as the regular season is on players and coaches, it has to be the same way in the playoffs. But I'm just saying, look, it's 16 years, zero playoff wins. You have to let him go. Now, if you're talking about another team looking at that and saying, can we take him in and he possibly change our franchise or help us move into the right direction? Yes, he can. Am I saying he's never going to win a playoff game and he's a bad coach or he can't do anything to coach or help any team in the NFL? That is not what I'm saying. I'm saying in 16 years for one team, you were relevant enough to stay above 500 for majority of it, and you won the division multiple times, and you walked away with zero playoff wins. As an ownership and as an organization, you have to understand that something, as good as it may be, you need better. And right now, I will take this Cincinnati Bengals team with Zach Taylor as their head coach against any of those teams with Ocho, with Houshmandzadeh, with Palmer, with Andy Dalton, with anybody you want to talk about. This Bengals team is better than the last 19 Bengals teams. And that's because of coaching, and that's because of they've never had a Joe Burrow. And they've never had we could talk about Ja'Marr Chase and A.J. Green, but let's be real. They've never had a Ja'Marr Chase. This is next level with talent. And Zach Taylor, for what it's worth, can have a good first year, made the playoffs the second year. So we'll see what they do next year. But that's the only thing I'm saying. I just think they made the right decision after 16 years for the Cincinnati Bengals. Why 30, 29, 28 other teams haven't given that man a chance, whether he wants one or not, that is beyond me. Because there's proof in the pudding that he can coach. I'm just saying they were justified in 16 years of releasing him. Again, we're talking too much about this Bengals team. 10-3, 12:49 left in the second quarter. Bengals got the football. Moving it on the Raiders' side, second and 11.
But, what was the offensive lineman, that number one guy? It wasn't Slater. It was the other guy. Who was it?
Who?
Offensive lineman, number one offensive guy.
That got drafted?
Yeah.
In last year?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Mekhi Becton? Wasn't it Mekhi Becton for the Jets?
No.
Wait, oh man, Slater. Ah, it's gonna come. is going to come to my brain. Jesus, come on, E. We just was talking about all this, man. And by the way, 27-yard pass to Ja'Marr Chase.
What the fuck? Yo, did you see what he did to number 10? Oh, my God.
The one in Detroit? The one in Detroit?
Oh,
the one in Detroit? Panay Sewell?
The one in Detroit. Panay Sewell? My son.
Sewell. Yep, there you go.
Yeah.
Oh, so he went to Detroit. No wonder why.
Yeah, he went to Detroit.
Just because of your son, he don't mean you can pronounce his name wrong.
Oh, listen, Panay Sewell. I'm excited off what my son is doing right now. That's the reason why you hear me talking like that. Because we looking at the strength of a grown man push another grown man for a reception. And y'all know that's my type of thing right there. So, yes, I did pronounce his name wrong. Thank you for your correct pronunciation. But I don't give a fuck about him right now. He's home with a 213 and a half a game team or whatever fuck they was. And my son is in here proving that I'm still around number 10 and 35. Y'all got to have long days. And that's, yo.
So they only
passed
up on Slater for Chase then.
Yep.
Okay.
They passed up on all.
I mean, as far as
the
offensive line.
Yeah,
like,
Sewell was six. But let me tell you,
oh my God.
Nacho blew a gasket over that. He was like,
bro,
yo, this man leg was looking like a half a chicken wing. They're going to not get him with the protection that he needs, but instead and pick a wide receiver. I think it was a horrible move. I think this guy maybe prize a couple. I don't know how many games he might have called Joe Burrow even playing, but obviously they have confidence in a line that got him destroyed last season, and that's why he keeps saying how he was wrong, because he went in on them doing
you,
that.
You know, we talk about, you know, I don't want to talk about Aaron Rodgers, but we talk about that situation that happened and, you know, the coach and quarterback situation and the front office getting advice. I think they said, hey, we can go get you Panay, we can go get you Rashawn Slater, or we can go get you Ja'Marr Chase. What do you think we should do? And he was like, hey, I'm good with Chase. But, you know, it's your decision, whatever you want to do. But I think me and Chase can go do what we did in LSU. And I honestly think I could be wrong, but I think that's what they did. I think they were going to go anyway. They were not wrong either. You could take Sewell or Chase, and to be honest, I still think they're a 10-win team. Sorry, go ahead.
No, listen, real quick, though, right? I just want to say something off topic of that, though, because I'm watching the game as well. And I just seen the LGBTQ just come through and sack the quarterback. And it just made me, right? No, for real. And it made me think.
I'm muting myself. I'm not doing it with him today, y'all. Pause. No. No, I'm a new E. No.
But listen, right? As I'm watching that, right, it made me think to myself, bro.
You're going to have to explain that, like, too now. Listen
real quick, bro.
He can't stop.
I'm watching that, right? I'm watching this. And I'm like, yo, I thought to myself, yo, like, that has to be one of the scariest things, bro. It has to be like a nightmare of mine to have a whole bunch of LGBTQ just come through and try to kill you, bro. Like, they all chasing you, bro. They trying to kill you. Yo, that's the scariest thing I could ever imagine. I felt for Joe Burrow just now.
You saw how he went down, right? He put his ass on the floor. No, I'm just like,
uh-huh. He went booty down first, bro.
I knew you was going to say that.
Don't do that. He got swung around that way. I was look at what first body part that hit the ground, G.
I'm just saying. he could have gave way a little sooner so he didn't cause no injury. But
so That was a sack.
Right,
that was a sack, and then
no,
That was a sack and then a 30-yard field goal. Cincinnati Bengals are up 13-3 over the Raiders with about 10:20 left in the second. And we did cover this game. We did cover the Bills and the Patriots. We also covered the Eagles and the Bucks. They don't play this weekend. I think they may play next weekend. When do the Ravens play again? I was trying to figure that out.
Went down. That's a wrap for us, G.
Yeah.
We are called the Baltimore Lamar.
Can we talk about how my son, Tyler Huntley,
the
later
Baltimore.
On Shakes? Because I would like to talk about that later with you.
I like to call them the Baltimore something that starts with an L, but not Lamar. But game tomorrow morning, I don't think I got Shakes' opinion on the morning game tomorrow. And then we'll get back to letting everyone watch these games. I got some itchy kids because their grandma just dropped off their Christmas presents. So we'll let them open them up here in a minute. But Shakes, tomorrow morning, Philadelphia, Tampa Bay at the 1 o'clock game. Get your not popcorn ready. But go ahead.
Hey, there go my boy, Jacobs. Oh, man. Motherfucking, they baked chicken, B. I said this all week long, yo. They is baked chicken. I don't see they got any chance in hell.
This is going to be interesting. We will do a show tomorrow before that game. But if the running attack seems to be
the two
still mixing for 35 yards, first and goal, first and 10 from the Cincy 12 after Josh Jacobs just ran it for 35. So we'll see. This could be a 13-10 game. We'll see how the Las Vegas Raiders handle the rest of this. But anything y'all looking forward to from tonight's game? We'll start with Shakes at the top, work our way down. Tonight's game, the rest of the weekend, and then whatever, close the standings and get on up out of here. We can get the rest of our Saturdays going.
Which one? I know it's an AFC game. It's New England, Buffalo. Yeah. Man, these motherfucking games today, man. I'm definitely glued to these games today. Tomorrow's games they all right. Of course, it's the division games, so I can't speak for everybody else, but me, I'm like Scrooge out this motherfucker for them motherfuckers. Lose. I just don't think that the Cowboys will lose tomorrow. I just don't have it in San Fran to beat them, but I hope they do. But as far as Philly, they baked chicken. Tonight, I said it yesterday. Patriots are going to win this game. I just think that Belichick, I don't think Buffalo ready for that. I don't think Buffalo's ready for that in the playoffs. They already they tied the seed in series, right? Because I know the first game New England handed it to them. And so, I think that's going to be the case today as well, so. I got New England, honestly, I don't even think it's going to be close.
And look, I don't know about the ass-moving part, but that was the 3-attempt passing game for Mac Jones in the first game that they won running the football. And then the second one, that was the Bills running rush shot over the Patriots late in the season. So this is the rubber match. I did pick the Buffalo – or. The Bill Belichick-led New England Patriots. I picked the Patriots to take that victory and continue to win. But like I prefaced, this will probably be a matchup we see for the next 10 to 15 years in the playoffs, just being teams of their caliber. And this isn't going to be a AFC East run by the Patriots as much as, like I said, Mac Brady is about to take over the whole AFC East again.
DeSean Jackson. Oh, you can catch deep, but you can't catch that, huh, Paul?
No, if he could, he'd probably still be on a good team. Chase, closing statement. Let's get on up out of here.
Man, fuck every team that's in these playoffs. That's right. Fuck them all. I hate them all. So, I don't care who wins. As long as it's not Dallas. As long as it's not Philly. I'm good. Oh, yeah, New England, too. And Pittsburgh. Yeah, they can all burn.
God damn, that's the whole AFC, Jake.
No, I just said two from the NFC, two from the AFC.
then you ain't add a couple more just out of thought?
No, not really. I mean, I don't really care if Buffalo wins it. You know what? Yeah, right. San Fran, they can kick rocks, too. Green Bay, too, they can kick rocks, too.
Come on, man, here we go. Look.
Yeah. The Rams can win it. They can win it. That would be fine. Arizona can win it. That would be fine. Buffalo can win it. I'll be fine with that. I don't want no more Kansas City. I don't want it. That's boring. I don't want to see it. Yeah, and that's about it. Yeah. I really don't like nobody in the AFC, to be honest with you. I don't like that. I don't like them. All my teams is gone in the AFC. My Ravens out. Chargers is out. I ain't got a team in this motherfucker. Miami. I can't hold for none of them motherfuckers. So, fuck them all. That's how I feel about it. 2 tears in a bucket. Matter of fact, I don't hate Las Vegas. There you go. Las Vegas. There we go.
All righty.
AFC side.
LRP. LRP, the floor is yours. All righty. LRP, I think you either muted or in the background. I got you. E, the chosen one. Let's end it.
Listen, bro. I'm okay with all of the teams winning it except for the Packers. I don't want to talk to you, okay? I don't want to hear from you. The Cowboys. I don't want to hear from any Cowboys fans too close to the division, okay? I'm an underdog sleeper guy. You guys know that. And I do have some favorites on the low, and I won't reveal that, but they'll eventually come out this season when we're talking. But I'm fine with the Rams, as Shake said. I'm super okay with the Bills because it is New York, so, I mean, you know, got to represent the state. Arizona, no problems at all, just like Shake's. Who else? But Cincinnati? Wow. That would just blow my mind because that would be an underdog, right, to be, say the least, to be like, whoa. New England, I'm going to keep it real. Because I'm a Tom Brady guy, I don't want to see them win nothing else no more. He did what he did. That was great. I loved every moment of it. I get to talk. We all know how I feel about Tom Brady. Let's move forward. I'm not spending time on that. It speaks for itself. Seven of them things. You know what? I would like the Rams to win it. I'm not going to lie, man. I would love to see Odell Beckham get a ring and act stupid and do something crazy. I would love to see that, man. I just like the Rams organization as a whole. You know what I'm saying? So Rams and AFC, I'll pick somebody real quick. Buffalo, right? I'll just go there with it. So that's my picks on who I would like to see go to the Super Bowl. So that's it, man. E, the chosen one from the Bronx. This has been a great show, man. Shout outs to everybody listening. Shout out to everybody who called in. Shout outs to my co-host today and the host for today, Nacho. I'll be back with you guys tomorrow at 3 p.m. Eastern time so we can wrap up the games from tonight, the early game from tomorrow, which will possibly still be on, and we can talk some more football. Great show. Great job. Great day. Love you, brothers.
Ho, ho, ho. Saturday football, fucking awesome. Saturday football because the season's almost over? Nah. I am ready. I have another week before my team gets to play on, I think it's Sunday, but it may be Saturday. I'm not 100% sure how they're going to work that out. We will know those after Monday, of course. you know, angry because the division made it, don't got that problem. Happy because we got a chance, got that problem. If you're talking about, you know, the unlikely scenario where the Packers get bounced next week, I want someone who's never hoisted a Lombardi trophy to hoist that motherfucker. Whether it's the Arizona Cardinals, whether it's Tennessee Titans, whether it's the Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals. That's it. That's it, man.
Tennessee too.
What'd you say?
No, yeah, I said I like Tennessee too. But real quick on a shout out on shout out to Joe Mixon smacking white girls and getting away with it and
you
becoming
see?
One of the running backs in the league.
You see? No. No, Shake. No. Because I told you not to do that years ago when it happened, and I said it to you. I said, you know what? Ain't nobody going to be thinking about that once he's scoring touchdowns. Don't do that, man. Don't.
You sure not right, because ain't nobody talking about it. But
ain't nobody talking
about it.
I told you, man. I said
this
what,
man,
man.
Got away smack and white with it.
You know,
the man is top right
back
in the league. Shout out to my man.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand. I do understand. I just understand how you don't applaud that, considering your favorite team had a killer at middle linebacker and won 2 Super Bowls with him, and nobody says anything about it in Ray Lewis. But we can
murderer. After the Super Bowl, how you kill somebody after the Super Bowl?
If it don't fit, you must have quit.
It fit, though. That was the problem.
That what? Prime time. Not Deion Sanders.
Bruh, we will leave that alone. I forgot we were still on air. We might get clipped. Look, man. Is it Tennessee? Is it Buffalo? Is it Cincinnati? I don't care. Either one of those three making it to the Super Bowl out of the AFC, I think, will be awesome. I just have to give one shout out and an RIP to all foldable tables in the greater Buffalo area for the rest of the evening, especially if they get that victory. I can't wait for that football. Here we go, Super Wild Card Weekend. Wait till the number one seeds, you know, show their ugly head back up next week for that divisional round, man. I love each and every one of y'all. Can't wait to get back into this. And again, as soon as Matt LaFleur and Aaron Rodgers can get on the same page, Packers are going to be scary, man. But until that, y'all have a great one. I love each and every one of y'all. And good night. LRP, are you with us? You want to say some goodbyes?
Thanks for coming out. Y'all have a good one. God bless.
Yes, sir. God bless all y'all. Love each and every one of you. Good night.
Be safe.